Last week, Stone Cold Steve Austin was live in our WWF studios, and Bret Hart joined us live via satellite from his home in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Ever hear of Equal Time McMahon? The producers tried to cut Stone Cold off. He took it out on everyone and everything in sight.
From there, Steve Austin accosted the studio security guard, who had no choice but to call for police backup. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Kelly is standing by live via satellite from the home of Brian Pillman in suburban Cincinnati.
Yeah, and guess who's coming to dinner? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And can Shawn Michaels trust Psycho Sid?
Are the New York Jets going to the Super Bowl?
At Survivor Series, Sid and Shawn will go at each other head to head.
Next week, they'll be side by side in tag competition.
But tonight, first, they'll go face to face right here on Monday Night Raw.
It's November 4th, 1996. ER is the number one rated show. Leslie Nielsen's Spy Hard is fresh on the shelves in video stores. And guess what? Pillman's got a gun. This is Federation on Shuffle. I'm Tyler Fudge.
And I'm Travis Fudge.
I forgot that Travis usually opens up Federation on Shuffle on the Patreon feeds, don't you?
I do.
Or do
I
you?
I close them.
You close them.
I close
them. Yes, that's right.
I send us
you
off.
You close them.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, this is a special edition of Federation on Shuffle because, you know, you don't just gloss over Pillman's Got a Gun.
This is the quintessential start of the Attitude Era.
I can see that. Like, you can argue that acts like Gold Dust was, you know, pre-Attitude Era.
But this episode of Raw, in the way, like, they treat this thing,
yeah,
like breaking news, like holy shit, someone might die in Brian Pillman's house tonight. There's goddamn children there.
Kevin Kelly just in the crossfire just stood there looking awkward. What? Oh my god.
Yeah, for fucking Christ's sake. And then Melanie Pillman all pilled up and fucking half fucking out the entire time, just looking at her. She looks dead in the face.
She's dead in the eyes. But,
oh, hey, even Brian Pillman Jr. makes fun of her.
That's true. You can't argue that.
He does not have nice things to say about his mom.
No, because he was raised by his aunt or his grandparents.
I believe so. Melanie Pillman's a piece of work.
Yeah, it's not the first time I've ever heard that before. There was a tournament. They used to do a tournament.
Brian Pillman's Memorial.
Yes.
Les Thatcher was doing it out of the good of his heart because he loved Pillman.
Yeah.
And he wanted to help out Melanie and the kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, eventually, years after doing it for a while, he stopped doing it, and Melanie got really fucking mad, demanded some money and some compensation and all that kind of stuff. And I think she was married to another pretty rich person, and she already had a shit ton of money, but she was notorious for spending it on
nose candy.
Pills and shit.
Yes, all that stuff. But we should finish this intro here.
What a great intro to Pillman's Got a Gun. Just a scathing fucking smear piece on Melanie Pillman.
I mean, I guess. Thanks for calling the show a smear piece. But, I mean, I'll get over it. One of these days it won't be, you know, it won't be by the time I'm done this Stanley Park brewing.
Brewery.
Sunsetter Peach Wheat Ale.
Oh, yeah. A very expensive beer, but a very good one.
It is a very good one.
Here in the Fudge household, we don't drink White Claws. We drink beer.
Well, we only drink White Claws because you can't find them around.
Find White Claws.
I don't really even drink. It's just these three have been sitting in my room for months. Weeks, not months.
Months.
Weeks. But
it's a seasonal beer, but it's been there for months.
Do they only sell it in the summertime?
Yeah, it's a summer.
Well, that's a fucking shame.
I know.
What am I going to... Well, guess it's back on the fucking Smirnoff Ice. But anyways.
If you see Tyler at all out, just ice him.
Just ice me, yeah. You don't need to call immigration. Just...
No, just put a Smirnoff Ice, like, neck... like, I don't know, on his seat at All Out.
Sure, sure. You know, with that being said, though, we should talk about how, you know, you can follow us on Twitter at The Federation. You can go on Facebook, The Federation Podcast. You can go on the Instagram, The Federation. It's all the same, you know. Patreon. You can become a Patreon subscriber and get these episodes every 2 weeks, twice a month. You'll get yourself a Federation on Shuffle.
I was wondering why you were doing a Patreon plug for a Patreon episode until I realized that this is probably where you put your Patreon teaser in. Hey, yeah, that's how it goes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You usually do this without me. You usually do this on the sly, like when you're doing editing.
What? No, I always do that.
Oh.
Yeah, you just don't listen to me, bro. You just don't like me or something. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Fuck. See, brotherly quarrels going on here now,
Jesus
boys.
We
might be done. No, I'm kidding.
Charlie gets one beer in him.
Hey, I don't even have one beer in me yet. I'm just like, I don't know.
Anyways.
I'm kind of stalling, honestly, because
why are you stalling?
I'm looking for something.
Okay.
That I should have had long ago.
Well, anyway, so tonight on this episode of Raw, it's essentially nothing is important except for the Milton Karate Fighters Tournament, the Sean and Sid debate, and every single mid-card match is consumed by something to do with either Stone Cold being on the phone with Vince,
yeah,
or them trying to get the feedback up, or them talking to Kerwin Silfies from the fucking production team and shit like that. It's a different episode of Raw, and it's nothing like the Nitros that we're going to be reviewing for fucking Starrcade, where there's like as much chaos with the NWO being the play-by-play and stuff like that, but nonetheless, I think the opening shot for this Raw is Kevin Kelly outside Pillman's house in Walton, Kentucky. But Vince McMahon keeps on saying that they're in Cincinnati.
Yes.
That's two different places. Two different states.
Is it?
Cincinnati's in Ohio.
You're right. You're right. You're very right.
And the opening graphic for Kevin Kelly coming out, he is in Walton, Kentucky. Yeah.
I never noticed that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, another fun tidbit is that during the Raw intro this week, you can hear someone clearing their throat,
yes,
over the fucking theme. I think it's Vince. He's like,
yeah, I did notice that you could hear. And it's in the intro to the episode.
Perfect.
The episode is literally the whole open going. You'll hear it. You'll hear it, and if you...
So did I just describe everything that was in the opening itself?
Probably. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
okay.
Essential. But, I mean, whatever. It just shows that you did your research, man. It shows that...
I love this
you're
episode
on the
of
level.
Raw.
Hey, it's a good episode of Raw. It is much better than the episode of Nitro.
Yes.
Much better.
I think I said it on the last episode of Federation on Shuffle, is that this is an episode of Raw that I've shown to non-wrestling fans.
Yes.
To see, like, it's interesting.
Yeah,
you know?
The matches are nothing. The matches are bullshit, really.
But Stone Cold Steve Austin is a fucking badass.
Yeah.
Like, on the phone with Vince and everything, that whole thing, and going outside of Pillman's house, and the whole fucking scene is amazing. It's fucking great.
I get you. It is. I agree.
Did you find what you were looking for yet?
I did. But I'll just do.
You're killing me.
I forgot to write down the rest. I didn't do my whole open, right? Because I forgot to write it down in my notes.
You were just so distracted with that true crime movie last night that you forgot to do your open again?
I did my open, but I didn't put the... Because I usually just copy and paste the section that I use in there. And I didn't because I forgot about it. And then I got halfway through and was like, ah, fuck, I forget stuff. I'm going to just save it for the end of the show. Boom!
Boom!
That is how you do that,
boys. Ba-boom!
Usually most people won't call out how they fucked up, but like I got no shame. I don't give a fuck.
No shame.
No shame. But either way, this is the 183rd episode of Monday Night Raw.
So are you going to like do some editing magic to reverse me opening up the show?
No.
How it started?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. It's going to stay that way. This episode was taped on October 21st, 1996, but its broadcast date was November 4th, 1996. It hails from Fort Wayne, Indiana, in the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum. What a name. I don't know how many people were here. I think it was something like, it can't be much.
750 maybe?
No, there's more than that. But like
1,100.
Well, Travis, what do you think this got for a rating?
2.6.
Travis, when I say you're getting better at this game, you are getting better.
I just read the Pillman book. They had the rating shit.
2.4.
Yeah, it was close.
2.4.
They still lost, though.
2.3. Oh, yeah, no. They lost handedly to a 3.4. So, Jesus. I mean, a point.
This wasn't even building up Starrcade. This is building up World War III at this point.
Well, this was, yeah. This was
competing.
They were competing for World War III. But, I mean, what can you do, right? What actually can you do?
They're trying. They're trying real hard. You know, they're making an edgier product.
A more sophisticated product.
You know, yeah. we're not gonna tend to the blood and guts. We've graduated from that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, they're
not unlike our competition.
They're high class, man. They're like veal.
I don't think TNT would take that.
Would take what? That they're.
I don't think that they'd like it. The blood and guts.
TNT. Well, they're not going to do the blood and guts there, right?
No, that's exactly what Vince said.
Oh.
On the interview.
Did he say TNT wouldn't like that?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he says that I can't speak for them, but I don't think TNT would like that.
Well, I mean, they've already said that they're not doing that on TNT.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't blame Vince for not doing his research because he's fucking 74 fucking years old.
He also says regarding the Paul Heyman, Eric Bischoff acquisitions that he no longer wants to be in the weeds. And what? In the weeds means that you're in over your head.
Oh, you know? I thought it was like he no longer wants to be like out of the loop.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's pretty much exactly too.
Yeah.
But yeah. So.
Interesting.
He recognizes that he's out of the loop, but I don't think he will ever be in the loop ever again.
I mean, probably
there's
not.
No way.
There's a good chance that he won't
be. A 74 to 75 year old man can't.
No. Like, look at Bernie Sanders.
He's about as close as you can get.
Right. He tries. He tries his damnedest, and if
Death
anybody's going to do it, probably be him.
Artist. Death Grips is like the weirdest fucking rap, dude. Holy fuck. It's like David Lynch if he rapped.
Hey, man. Something's got to fucking...
Bernie Sanders fucking loves them, though.
Is it like...
He went on stage with them at one
did
point.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I don't even know who the band is.
It's just a fucking black dude yelling and screaming and shit
like
that.
That's fair. But Travis, we should might as well get into this episode. So, I know you have mentioned this, but I'm just going to take us through this episode like I normally would.
I didn't know what to say.
That's okay.
I need to start somewhere.
That's okay. But they cut to Kevin Kelly. He's outside Pillman's home. He's stumbling all over his words. He already looks nervous, even though nothing's going on. He claims that since Austin has threatened to show up at the house, Pillman has evacuated his kids and is awaiting Austin's arrival. And then, you know, we go to our first matchup of the night. And, buddy, what a matchup it is. Goldust taking on the Stalker. But it's not just the Goldust and the Stalker. I don't know why I called him the Goldust. But Goldust is obviously with Marlena, but he's also with Clarence Mason, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Mr. Perfect, and Crush. What was he in jail for? Tax evasion?
No, I'm pretty sure it's like battery or something like
that. Oh, was he? Fair enough.
Yeah, or like human trafficking or...
He wasn't in there for human trafficking. If he was in there for human trafficking, he wouldn't have been out at this point in time.
Yeah, Clarence Mason's a good lawyer.
Oh, fair enough.
He's a very good lawyer.
Couldn't sue
him. And that is why Clarence Mason's out there. Because right now, Clarence Mason is Crush's manager.
Yes.
He's his attorney.
Yes.
So he's the one that's getting him a job back in the WWF. Oh. That's the whole story.
Fair.
You know, I went through the Crush Orton story on a Federation on Shuffle before we started doing them.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's been a while. So my memory on how he got back is pretty shady.
That's fair. He's been for a while.
The Stalker Barry Windham, he's with his team as well.
Yes.
It is legendary. Oh. The Pillman's Got a Gun episode of Raw, we get the debut of The Rock.
Was this his debut?
There was a vignette that aired for him a couple weeks ago, but this was his first ever Raw appearance.
Fair enough. Put him with the fucking Stalker, who's not even wearing the face paint anymore.
And he's got a WWF shirt.
He's given up completely.
He doesn't have his own shirt.
No. I mean, just even like a black shirt, but no, it's got to be a WWF shirt. But this match, now...
He looks like a Dudley boy.
Kind of, a little bit.
Like a big Spike Dudley.
Spike Dudley's father. Yeah. But as you can see with this, I wouldn't say Mr. Perfect is long for the WWF anymore. Like, I would imagine he's soon out of it, since he's soon going to be ending up in WCW.
He ends up in WCW in April.
Yeah. But like,
he's out soon.
Yeah. So
I think by December.
Yeah, I assumed it was going to be really early, you know, because
if he was in there any longer than that, he would obviously be in the Royal Rumble.
Well, you'd think, but he hasn't worked at all yet. And which...
No. They've teased it.
They've definitely...
Which was a pretty shitty promotional tactic of theirs.
Yeah, they never ever planned on doing it, and then whatever. But I mean...
But he's fine to wrestle. That's the funny thing, is because when he goes to WCW, he starts to fucking wrestle
it's
again.
It's just because of that Lords of London, right? Somebody's got to buy him out of that. Whether Vince McMahon probably didn't want to buy him out of that settlement.
Yeah, who the fuck knows?
I'm sure that's what Eric Bischoff was for. Buys him out. But no, this, I don't know. It kind of seemed like a mini nation. It's like, let's try putting Mark Merrow with these two guys and see what happens. It's like, oh, no, never mind. That sucked. How about Farouk?
Oh, dude. Mark Henry. Mark Henry is soon gone off TV for a year.
Yes. He'll soon go away.
Yeah, and Rocky Maivia, he is blue chipper babyface for another year or two.
Oh yeah.
So,
you mean the Nation doesn't happen at all?
Yeah, the Nation happens, but not with The Rock and Mark Henry. They're not the first original members.
No. It's Kamen Mustafa.
No.
Oh no, PG-13.
Yeah.
Wolfie D and whatever the fuck his face is.
Jamie Dundee.
Yeah.
JC Ice or whatever it was.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And who else? Crush.
Yeah.
And Savio Vega.
Yeah.
And that's it, right?
And D'Lo Brown is there.
D'Lo Brown's one of the original ones.
But he just
wearing
a suit.
Fucking stupid hat.
And a suit. Yeah. Like, he's always in a suit.
Well, I mean, it is a take on the Nation of Islam, right? And the Nation of Islam is...
Something tells me that there was one more member, but... Fuck, I can't remember right now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Kama gets in there pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But I thought that Kama got in there when The Rock and Mark Henry started, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's around August or September.
Fair enough. But we will see a Rocky Maivia match at Survivor Series this year.
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, we will. But either way, Doc Hendricks says that he has Austin on the telephone. He's in a rental car on his way to Pillman's house, and he wants to talk to the boss. Now, Travis, should we listen in on this call? Should we wiretap the WWF?
We should, because this match means nothing, because this phone call is a glaring distraction over the entire
match.
That
idiot Pillman threatened last week, said he's going to have a gun there.
All right, knock it off.
Well, he said that.
Got the guts. I'll do whatever it takes to get my hands on Pillman. You'll find out.
Mr. Austin, we're talking about trespass here. We're not talking about
something in the wrestling world. We're talking about trespass. If you make good on your promise.
Well, listen, Vince, if something happens to me, I'm sure you'll make amends for it because I'm a big star. I'm in the Big Matches Survivor Series. You can't do without me. I can do whatever I want, and I've got the mindset, and I'm ticked off enough that I don't really give a rat's ass. I will do what I say regardless of the consequences.
So that's not the whole phone call.
It's pretty long.
But this is, you know, that's the unabridged version of the phone call. Vince McMahon has a lot to say. Jerry Lawler doesn't really say much. But, I mean, other than that, it's a great phone call, though. Austin is just on fire on the mic right now. The original heel Austin, to me, is one of the best.
Yeah, because it's like raw and unfiltered, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
It hasn't been watered down, nothing like that. Yeah, he's just a pure fucking asshole, but he's a rebel, badass motherfucker. Like, you know, he's like an action star or like something like that.
kind of, I guess. I guess you could say in this episode, he definitely is in an action movie of sorts.
Yeah.
For sure. But Travis.
And the only time that a home invasion has worked in an angle.
You can argue
that they did in the Attitude Era with like Taker burning fucking Vince's teddy bear and all that kind of shit, saying he was gonna like do a home invasion on the McMahon mansion, and then like the one that Triple H did with Randy Orton for WrestleMania 25.
I don't know anything about
that. Well, I'm just saying, yeah, it's the only one that's ever worked.
That was way over my head. There was also a part in this match where they played this awesome Austin and Bret Hart hype video.
There's two different versions of it. There's one in
Bret's version,
and then Stone Cold's version is the best.
It's got to be because like this is fantastic.
You get quintessential.
This closes out the show, by the way.
You get quintessential Stone Cold like imageries that are used like in his entrance videos and
for
hype videos for years. Yeah, exactly. So, I never knew that this was the start of it. It was cool to see.
Yeah, no, I quite enjoyed it. I thought they're really selling the fuck out of Austin and Bret. They're doing more for that than they are for anything in the WCW right now.
And then the fade to black at the end of it with their theme song playing at the very end, hyping up Survivor Series November 18th.
It was a really good video.
Yeah.
It really was. But let's get to the finish of this match, because there's really nothing to talk about this match. Once we're back, a brawl starts into the ring, eventually spilling out to the heels, beating the babyfaces and the Stalker, just beating them all to hell. This would go to a double DQ, but, I mean, whatever. It's strange, though, to see that the Stalker's a good guy.
And the Stalker taking on Goldust, you'd think that one of their theme songs would lead us out of this whole segment, but no.
No,
Mark Marrow's theme leads us out.
It's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever, man. Vince, I guess that's your call, I guess. But whatever. Doc, though, he talks about Undertaker Mankind and throws to a clip of WWF's Big Bang Boom. I have never, ever heard of this show.
Big Bang Boom Tour? It's live events.
Oh, was it?
Their live event tour. Right
I now. Thought that this was like a new TV show.
No, this has been their tour. Like, yeah, Doc Hendricks has been hyping up the Big Bang Boom tour on Sporadic Raws.
Okay.
It's a terrible name.
It is. Terrible. It's absolutely fucking god awful.
Big Bang Boom. Yeah, fuck. It sounds like you're making a parody of a wrestling show right there.
Yeah. What's weird, too, is it's also got the Raw entrance. The entranceway has the words R-A-W.
Oh, clever.
So so nice set, guys. Fuck. Nice house show set.
Professional.
In the clip, though, you hear Taker's voice over the intercom, I guess you'd say, but I mean through the ether because he's the dead man. He says that the rumors of demise is not true and he is a threat or a treat for Paul Bear, and it is a shark cage.
Oh, this was on Raw.
Oh, it was? Well, they had the Big Bang Boom written there.
Oh,
corner.
It was on Raw.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, with Paul Bearer hanging upside down in the cage as a puppet.
Yeah.
That was on Raw.
Literally in the corner. It was watermarked with Big Bang Boom.
I have no idea why, like, they did that.
That's so fucking confusing.
Yeah.
That's you know, you'd think it's, you know, it's not WCW, but
what the fuck?
Thank you.
What the fuck?
Bruh.
What the fuck?
Bruh.
That's a new one. I didn't know that was
bruh.
That must be an old version.
Is that
of
bruh?
I guess. Bruh. Yeah, bruh.
Bruh.
It's the WWF version, Travis.
Fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Fucking bullshit. Fucking bullshit.
But Kevin Kelly, he's with Pillman and his wife Melanie in their home. Pillman has a lot to say. Do you have anything to say about Pillman?
He seemed like he could have been the fucking best heel in the entire company out of every single time that they cut to him in his house on this show.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No.
It's the most real storyline that WWF has ever done is this entire Raw.
I'd say so. Yeah. It grounded itself in realism with obviously the use of the gun. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people look negatively on it. You know what I mean? Just because it's a gun. But it's like,
oh, well, if only they knew what they wanted to do originally.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Travis, save that because that'll come at the end.
I know.
That'll come at the end. But yeah, we will talk about what they wanted to do originally. But do you want to hear what Pillman had to say here?
Of course.
Of course. This is a Pillman promo. How often do we get these on Raw right now? Not very often.
This is the last time for a long
time. Yeah, because, well, he literally just had the reconstructive surgery on his ankle to get it fixed again. They play it off like Austin injured him.
Didn't heal properly.
Yeah.
Didn't set.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So this is basically his dive into the night to come back at a later date to join the Hart Foundation, I guess. Because he immediately jumps into that, I assume. Yep. And it's weird how he doesn't even play any kind of factor into the Austin Hitman, like, nothing at all. Couldn't, no wheelchair, nothing. All this build to nothing at all. But, I mean, the match didn't need it at all, either.
So. No, they didn't.
But let's hear this.
Brian, I have to ask you, after the unprovoked savage attack last week on WWF Superstars, you had, I understand, reconstructive surgery once again on your ankle. Can you give us the prognosis? What have the doctors told you about your recovery?
Look, Kelly, I'm alive and well. I got an excellent prognosis for 97. But let's talk about Mr. Austin's prognosis. I've been in bitter feuds many, many times in this sport. There's a fine line between business and private lives. Austin, you've crossed that line. You've made this personal. And now we're operating on a whole different set of rules, son.
And Brian, we heard earlier that Stone Cold Steve Austin could be on his way to your home here tonight.
Kev, if I can interject this, I'm told that, in fact, that we have Mr. Austin circling the neighborhood.
Kind of sounds like an air circulating fan in the background instead of a crowd.
Yeah.
It seems to me that considering your vulnerability with your wife, Melanie,
Steve Austin's very vulnerable as well.
Do you feel his rage
has blinded him to the fact that his best friend knows him better than anybody.
Do you feel it?
His strengths, his weaknesses, and certainly his fears.
Notwithstanding your bravado, do you feel a hostage? Do you feel like you're a hostage in your own home tonight?
Steve is a dead man walking because when Austin 316.
Great line.
Meets Pillman.
Oh my God!
9 millimeter clock.
Oh my God!
I'm gonna play his surgery.
The reaction and the chaos.
Steve Austin's out there now, man.
What?
It's perfect. Yeah. It's fucking perfect.
Yeah. Kevin, like, Kelly's just said, "Oh my gosh!"
Like that line, "Steve's a dead man walking." When he meets Pillman, 9 millimeter.
Yeah. When Austin 316,
you hear it click, and he says Glock, and he's like, "Oh my God! Oh my God! He's out there!"
Well, that's not Kevin Kelly. Kevin Kelly.
No,
like,
Kelly's like, "Oh my gosh!
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
Oh my gosh! Brian Pillman!
Oh my gosh!
Brian Pillman!"
Yeah, it, utter chaos. It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, no, it is. But to me, that, like, you can say what you will about how it goes, like, later on, like, the ending scene. But this, to me, is the peak of it. Because, like, that line, to me, is just the best thing out of this night. Austin 316, Braun, like Pillman, 9mm Glock. Yeah. Like it's such a good line. But yeah, no, they would cut to a commercial, and we would come back, and we would see some highlights, Travis, from the Karate Fighters holiday tournament.
This is one of the best parts.
It was somewhat entertaining. We had Marlena taking on Psycho Sid. Take us through this, Travis. What happened here?
Well, Sid beats Marlena, and Marlena loses, saying that her karate fighter will never work in this town again. And next week, in the Milton Bradley Karate Fighters Tournament.
Holiday tournament, Travis.
Okay. It'll be Doc Hendricks taking on Sable.
What a match.
Just lets you know, in the next round of the tournament, Sid will face Mr. Perfect. Oh. Mr. Perfect has already won. Usually this is like fodder for Sonny and Sable to get on TV at this point. Like, because Sonny, after
smoking guns.
After smoking guns, she doesn't do anything.
She'll start LLB, like probably.
She'll start doing commentary and doing announcing.
Yeah.
Like, she'll announce like the cruiserweights.
The light heavyweights.
Or the ECW guys.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's about it.
That's fair.
Yeah. The karate tournament is super fun. I love it.
Well, let's leave this riveting tournament behind, because Austin has arrived, and he starts drowning a man in a turtle pool. Yes. And then he starts crushing another man's head in a car door. What a goddamn brawl, Travis. I loved it. I thought this is absolutely great. Fantastic.
Right in his front yard.
Yeah.
In his driveway.
Yeah. And then he starts to find a way into the house, and we cut to the Sultan
taking on Alex the Pug Porto.
Yes. In 2 minutes and 9 seconds of just horribleness.
The best part about this match was Bob Backlund screaming about Bill Clinton and the Sultan before the match started.
Yeah.
I don't know what he said, but he said something about Bill Clinton, and then he said the Sultan.
You can't understand.
You may as well just put Iron Sheik on the fucking mic.
Yeah. You don't know what you're going to get with the Iron Sheik, though. Fucking Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton told me he'd give me A to Z.
He just give me B. But, no. It doesn't matter what timeline we do, Travis. Rikishi is always there.
Yeah, we're cursed to have Chris Benoit and Rikishi in all of our timelines.
Yeah, we didn't have him. The only Chris Benoit was missing from the Battle of the Woos, but that was it. But Rikishi.
We still had Rikishi.
Rikishi's been there for all of it, like through thick and thin. He won't be in the next one.
No, thank God. Thank fucking God. And he'll be out of the WWF for a lengthy period of time after Mania. Yeah, the Sultan dies out in the spring of 97. You don't see Rikishi until about late 99.
Well, yeah, no, he wouldn't come back, I guess, yeah. That's fair. That is it's probably his last go around, hey?
Yeah, yeah, and then he finally gets his big break, if you want to call it a big break.
Yeah, sure.
He finally gets over after all these years.
Yeah, by getting his ass to humongous proportions.
By gaining weight and shaking his ass, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
You're a fucking legend, apparently.
Yeah.
To some people.
You'll forever be the winner.
Joke.
You'll forever be the winner of a TNA Reverse Battle Royal. That's what it'll forever be to me.
Man, he was so close to winning that TNA title.
Yeah, then he fucking was just like, you're not paying me enough, I'm done.
Something like that.
And he
just
left. Yeah, I mean, whatever. But Travis, the Sultan wins with a camel clutch. Fuck this match.
Yeah, fuck this match, dude.
They go back to Pillman's home. You know, this is a short and sweet segment. This is the segment that we all know. There's I'm not going to play the audio because there's really, it's just clanging and banging is basically all you hear in distant voices. But Austin, they cut back to Kevin Kelly, and he breaks a window through the door, and he comes in, and he rushes. And you can see him stop, and they go to Pillman, who's got the gun, and he's pointing at it. And then it goes to static, and then we come back, and we got our, you know, somber announcers.
So the original plan
yes.
for that segment Austin Pillman and I believe Vince wanted two gunshots to go off.
Okay.
And then cut.
Which they also allude to it. They don't show it, but they talk about
it. They say there were explosions.
Yeah.
So Bonnie Hammer nixed it. Bonnie Hammer being the... Everyone knows, whoever follows.
I don't know who Bonnie Hammer is.
Bonnie Hammer is like the lead fucking person on USA Network. Okay. Like, she is the head of it.
Okay.
And she's been the one that pushed for wrestling to come back when they left USA.
Go to Spike.
Years ago. And
TNN.
Then, yeah. So, yeah, she nixed the idea. And she also nixed another idea that will happen later on. But we'll get to that one eventually.
Okay. Later on this episode?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. They go to JR, who is in the ring. He has Sid and HBK. I thought this was pretty decent, Travis.
The cut to April of 1995.
Right? What a drastic difference. HBK's got a mullet.
And the production of Raw is so much brighter in 1995 than it was in 96.
Yeah. Yeah, technically. I agree with what you say there. But HBK says that he forgave Sid for attacking him last year in 1995. HBK then says that Sid just got out of the loony bin. But Sid does not agree. He says this.
First of all, that's bullshit. Now, if you're stupid enough to believe I walked my ass out of a loony bin into the World Wrestling Federation, then you can be just that stupid.
Yeah, I got half the brain that you do.
He calls Shawn Michaels little man at one point, too, I believe.
Oh, he does.
Which, on the pay-per-view, Buried Alive, when he cuts the promo with Doc Hendricks and JR, and he calls JR, you know what, little man? It brought me right back to that, and I was like, man, Sid is so fucking great.
His promos are fun. And he does have a lot of fire in his matches. I agree with you there. JR then asked about when he clocked HBK weeks ago. He says it was a mistake. And then, you know, this also ensues.
It was a mistake. And I told him that. And I told you that, fatso. But I'll tell you,
fatso.
He can take it.
Yep.
Shawn Michaels steals Ric Flair's line, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
I didn't notice that.
He said, as the saying goes, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Hey, I mean, I guess. Vince then also says that they're establishing a connection. It's like, we have our connection back. And then, I'm sorry to play all these audio clips, but then he says this.
Where we have reestablished our live satellite feed.
He's talking over Shawn.
Wants a part of me as much as I want a part of him.
Sorry, we don't have it.
Nope.
Sorry, just wait until we get Kerwin Zilf. He's on the fucking line, dude. Holy shit.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
Vince, we can't get the connection.
Why? It's not so cordial there. HBK, though, he comes off as such an asshole. Really, though, in my opinion. He does not come off as the babyface in this position. He says that he'll beat Sid simply because Sid's not in his league. Sid then has the best response, and this is when he says that Sean, of course I'm not in your league. That's because you're in Little League. I thought that was fantastic. I literally laughed out loud.
So familiar with softball,
right? I know. So good. So good. The fact that they got... No, Sid pulled out of Raw Reunion after, didn't he? I'm sure he had a softball.
He was promoted for it.
Yeah, but he didn't. He wasn't there because he pulled out.
I might have watched that show if Sid was a part of that beer bash at the end.
I know you would have. I know you would have. It would have been fucking funny. HBK, though, he then breaks the podium and then starts pushing each other around. All of a sudden, Cornette comes out with Owen, Davey Boy, Clarence Mason, and Vader, proclaiming that Vader was fucking robbed and this title match should be for him.
He beat Sean cleanly on
Raw.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an argument that Vader should be the number one contender. But like I said, Vader hurt his ankle. He's just probably... You know, they can't really go there, but the decision was made before he broke his ankle, so it's hard to say. But, I mean, you can always use the ankle as the excuse. But, I mean, I would have rather see another HBK Invader match, though. But then again, I mean...
I can see why they didn't do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean was a prick.
Yep, Yeah, and you can see he's obviously, in his character, he's not really caring so much about, like, I don't know, being like a team player, I guess. It's more about him than
it
is anything else. No, no.
Like, he's not the guy that can...
Sean's never been the guy, in my opinion.
No,
like, he is a great, fantastic worker. One of the best ever. If not the... No. Ric Flair, to me, well, all around. But when it comes to workers, Shawn Michaels is up there, being one of the best ever.
You got, like, the Beatles, Rolling Stones argument on that type of thing.
Yeah.
I think Brett...
That's fair.
...is my favorite...
Yeah,
all around worker. Not my favorite wrestler. Like I've.
His heel
promos
are fantastic.
If you listen to this
fantastic.
Fucking show, you know what my favorite wrestlers are.
Yeah,
Brett, I think, is the best main guy worker.
That's fair.
In my opinion.
I get you. Yeah. I get you. I mean, his heel promos are fantastic. Babyface promos, not so much. But like, his heel promos are fucking.
In the ring, though.
Fantastic worker.
Fuck, man.
In the ring. Fantastic work in the ring. Better than Triple H for sure. Bret Hart would love it if he knew I said that. Somebody saying he's better than Triple H. Fuck yes. Good.
I like him more than Shawn and Flair, so I mean...
I mean, that's fair. To me, it's hard. Like, right now, in this era of Flair, no, I don't really care about seeing Flair in 96. But that Battle of the Woo stuff... Now, mind you, though, my biggest highlight of that era was Terry Funk. Terry Funk was my favorite guy.
Yeah, Terry Funk was the man.
Yeah, I love Terry Funk.
And the Midnight Express.
Yeah, Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane, man. Fuck, you know, I haven't seen much with Dennis Condrey, but Stan Lane walked into that tag team, and what a fucking match.
Yeah, Stan Lane might be, like, my most underrated worker of that era. That year. Probably the most underrated worker.
Yeah, that's fair. Stan Lane's great.
Him and maybe Buzz Sawyer.
Fucking Buzz Sawyer. Oh, man. What a hairdo. But, you know. What was the... I don't know. There was a bit on one of the shows. But was it jam a sandwich or something?
Oh, my God. Bald Eagle and a jam sandwich.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I don't remember how it goes. But I remember just laughing a lot.
Is it time to get into Mark Mirko versus Razor Ramon yet?
No, it was not. because, so, Vader wants his retribution, but Hart then hits Sid with the chair, Owen Hart, that is. The next thing Sid sees, though, is HBK holding the chair. So the two exchange some words, but ultimately they fight off another wave of Cancronet before becoming separated by all hands on deck. And then Vince... claims that they have service again, and we come back, they show a fuzzy screen and recap what happened in the night. Vince, once again.
Part of him.
Sorry, we don't have
it. Survivors.
I love Vince McMahon apologizing, because you never hear Vince McMahon ever apologize.
Yeah.
And now I have an audio clip of Vince McMahon apologizing. So,
yeah, proof.
Yeah, I got proof that it's real. He's
it's
actually
happened
said
before.
Yes. He won't apologize for Kerwin. Later on, though, not wanting to risk his life, but, I mean, whatever. But, yes, now, Travis, it is time to talk about Merk Mero and fucking...
Mark Mirko.
Mirko, sorry, and Rick Bogner.
According to the WWE Network, it is Mark Mirko.
Oh, is it?
Versus Razor Ramon. Mirko.
I mean, we've had a few... snafus, like World War III's was wrong.
The description.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
So.
Yeah, read them and weep, man. Fuck.
Read them and weep.
Let's fucking watch this doozy right here with JR joining play-by-play to hype his boys up and shit. And then we just cut to Kerwin Silfies on the production team.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he states that whatever happened to the house caused a power outage to Pillman's house only, which that still doesn't make any sense. That's one of the holes in
the
show.
And then he
thing.
Says that there's no cops there because they're in the sticks or something.
Yeah, it's like cops don't know where to go. Yeah. The crew also does not want to go inside to fix it. And you could tell, you know, like at this point in time, Vince was understanding. But the next time that he would say, like, where's the authorities? Why aren't they there? Right, so
you're in Cincinnati, Ohio. God damn it! Well, sorry, Vince. We are in Kentucky.
Yes, Yes.
Oh, well, where the fuck is Cornette?
You sent the cops to Ohio? Why would you do that, Vince? We're in Kentucky. I'm Kerwin. Fuck. Then JR blames all of this on Vince, says that if anything happens to Pillman or his family, it's on Vince's hands. Oh, the blood yeah. will Vince, be on his
Vince
hands.
Vince and JR get heated.
Oh, they begin to argue back and forth, and Vince is not sorry anymore. He is unhinged. Like, you could tell in his voice that it's just like he tapped into something, some kind of anger there. And it protruded out. Whether or not he was actually angry at JR, I doubt it. I'm sure he knew it was going to happen. But, yeah, no, it was really good. I really, really enjoyed this. The whole anything involving the Austin Pillman promo or angle is top-notch in this episode.
Yeah.
It made this episode so easy to watch. It's probably the best. No probably. It is the best episode of Raw 1996. Has to be. There's no way it's not. I mean, do you have a nomination?
96? No. Yeah. No.
There you go. Travis, did you
Rubble,
see...
Rubble. Oh, so good. So fucking good.
So good. Did you see where the Big Bang Boom Tour is going next?
No, I didn't. Oh, yeah, St. John's, Newfoundland.
St. John's Memorial Stadium. That's the
Mile One?
No. Not Mile One wasn't built till 2004.
No.
Yep.
No, because they went to Mile One in 2002.
Okay, maybe it was built in 2002. Whatever. I just know that there was a benefit concert in the new Mile One Center in 2004 for something.
What if they redid the Mile One?
No, Mile One is brand new. It was brand new when it was built and when I was in high school. I remember that being the thing. I got this, bro. they did it because they were going to lose the hockey team.
Fog Devils.
Nope, St. John's Maple Leafs. And then they lost them. And then that's when they got the Fog Devils back. But, they built Mile One Center to accommodate the St. John's Maple Leafs. And then, that didn't pan out. And then, they had this Mile One Center that wasn't really being used much, only for, concerts and shit. And
it opened in May of 2001.
Okay, 2001. There you go. It's not open in 96.
But no.
But Memorial Stadium, pretty sure, is where the St. John's Maple Leafs used to play. But other than that being said, that's all I got to say about the Big Bang Boom Tour on this episode.
You've already mentioned it two times. Two times is more than enough for a house show tour.
Yeah, definitely. If anything, if it had to be mentioned again, I would like for it to be in the rendition of POD. And their click, click, boom. Beep, bang, boom.
No saliva.
Oh, fair enough.
POD did do boom, though.
They're both
boom.
Shit.
Here comes the boom.
Ready or not. Yeah, no, they're both garbage.
Here comes the boys from the south.
Oh, shit.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. There's going to be a boom.
I thought they were a Christian rock band.
They are a Christian rock band.
They're talking about
they're probably from the South, Travis.
They look Mexican.
They're the boys. Yeah, obviously.
Oh, I thought we were
talking
about
Southern of the United States.
I thought we were talking about some.
Oh,
no. You know what I mean?
South. You're being real derogatory about your South.
We always are. That's like the thing that I do.
That's. It's all me.
I talk
me,
shit
baby.
About the South.
It's all me. It's
I talk shit about
me.
The South, and I talk shit about Newfoundland and Benoit.
Yeah, we both love talking shit about Newfoundland and Benoit. So, that being said, let's cut back over to,
this match?
I guess, yeah, we should.
He goes up for the Marvelosity. Triple H dumps him off the ropes because Triple H and Mr. Perfect have arrived, went ringside. And Triple H helps his old friend Razor Ramon defeat Mark Mero with the Razor's Edge.
Yes. Yeah, Rick Bogner gets the win. I refuse to call him Razor Ramon anymore. He's Rick Bogner.
Rick Bogner.
He's Rick Bogner now. But Vince McMahon then says that they finally have the feed up and running. It turns out this time he's telling the truth.
I wish we could hear him say sorry again.
I mean, I'm sure I can. Vince. Do you have anything to say?
Part of him.
Sorry, we don't have it.
Survivor's.
There you go.
Vince, do you have good content on your TV right now?
Part of him.
Sorry, we don't have it.
That's validating.
Hey, Vince, do you have a good idea for the winner of the Royal Rumble leading into WrestleMania this year?
Part of him.
Sorry, we don't have it.
Who's going to take over the Universal Championship reign after Brock Lesnar?
Part of him.
Sorry, we don't have it.
Oh, wow.
Riffing. You don't have the title? Vince, is that what you're saying?
Sorry, we don't have it.
Survivor's.
Fair enough.
Vince, do you have a clue what you're doing at all?
We don't have it.
Survivor's.
We don't have it.
Before that goes south real quick, we should probably finish off this show. Because we could probably do that for like another 12 minutes.
It's very, very, very possible.
Just salty ass wrestling fan.
But Pillman's being restrained. He claims no one was shot and that Austin seen the gun and left. When all of a sudden, Austin shows up again. When out of nowhere, he gets rushed outside and they go off air with yelling.
And Pillman yells, "I'll kill that son of a bitch."
He grabs the gun again. And
there's a motherfucker in there too.
Yeah, and they call the police.
Yeah. The show ends with Melanie crying and the King telling Kevin Kelly to go grab the gun from Pillman.
Now, Melanie is only crying because the cops are going to come and find her stash.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, this show was originally supposed to end, but got nixed by Bonnie Hammer from the USA Network, that during the commotion, Melanie Pillman was going to get knocked down and injured.
Oh.
Yeah, not shot, but knocked down by Steve Austin or someone in the commotion. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
and we're going to end the show with, you know, the whole fucking Owen Hart silence thing for Melanie Pillman getting hurt. Bonnie Hammer didn't want a woman to be hurt like that from a man on Monday Night Raw. They decided to nix that idea as well.
I mean, it's understandable. I get it.
The two ideas for this show were
they both would work.
Gunshots and man-on-woman violence were the two things that they wanted for the show, but they didn't get.
And now look at it this way now, okay? On Impact, they had gun violence. In 2019, on the WWE, there is also man-on-woman violence with Baron Corbin beating up Becky Lynch.
Yep.
So, I mean, look at wrestling today.
Look at that.
Maybe if this would have happened nowadays. I don't know. I would imagine if this happened now, people would just be so upset. Just like they were with the Impact thing.
Mickey James getting thrown in front of a train by James Storm.
I'm talking about the kid that got hit by a car.
I know. But I know. That was pretty fucked up.
I thought, like, to me, this is my stance on it. Nobody in the world, well, I mean, there's some countries where people still believe wrestling's real. But for the most part, everybody watching wrestling nowadays knows it's fake. Knows that it's a soap opera, essentially. You know what I mean? Why not just, like, go for it? You got guys that are gangbangers. As long as it stays with them, I wouldn't have, like, fucking Jordan Grace coming out and fucking pointing a gun to Taya Valkyrie. I wouldn't have the gun in the audience. You know what I mean? Like, come out to the ring with the gun like they did with the fucking...
The Midget?
Yeah, well, what was his name? It was Midget something. Something Midget, right? Evil Midget or...
I can't remember. Something the Midget Killer.
Psycho Midget, Midget Killer. Yeah,
I can't remember.
Something like that.
I understand. I just find that it's out of the ordinary for a wrestling show that you don't need that much dramatic value.
And you shouldn't need that much dramatic value. That's the thing. If you do a good wrestling show, you don't need it.
The genre of wrestling is a simple story to tell.
Yes. Yes.
You have good guys, bad guys. You have one point, then you have another point, and then you have your conclusion, and then...
Yeah.
It's fucking over.
Yeah.
You don't need a vignette of a fucking child getting ran over to accentuate the fact that they're Mexican gangbangers. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, getting ran over in the mean streets of Toronto.
But then, at the same time, I enjoyed a home invasion segment of a man that is brutally injured, like nearly died, and has to get a second surgery on his leg. Being invaded by a fucking crazed lunatic, Stone Cold Steve Austin, who just beat up two people from a fucking football team, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah.
Because Pillman's
friends.
Entourage is a
Bengals.
Football team.
Yeah, it's the Cincinnati Bengals. At the same time, too, Travis, we never even thought about this. In 2019, the WWE held another home invasion angle. Samoa Joe invading on AJ Styles as Wendy.
Wendy!
Wendy! Daddy's home, Wendy!
Sorry, I'm just making fun of Samoa Joe screaming.
100%. That is Samoa Joe's scream. But Travis, with that being said, we should get ready to close out this show. And by closing out this show, I'm going to do this in a little ass-backwards order than I normally would do it. When I was talking about our Patreon earlier, I never ever went through our Patreon subscribers. Our Patreon and PayPal subscribers like Chris Savage, Christopher Spaulding, and Big Body Sam. You can also buy a t-shirt at whatamaneuver.net. And again, follow me on Twitter at Federation. You can follow Travis at Twitter at
FudgeJump333.
That's another thing that we didn't do. That's what happens when I don't have my notes. So, with that being said, Travis.
In the meantime and in between time. Take it easy.
You know, Brett, the whole world knows that you quit the WWF because you lost to Shawn Michaels.
The pretty boy.
The boy toy kicked your ass back to Canada. You couldn't face yourself, and you damn sure couldn't face your family.
Ran away in shame.
You should have picked another time to come back,
I ain't
son.
No sexy
when the
boy.
Bell rings and it's time to get down to business, I'm going to take 7 years of frustration and being pissed off out on your ass. Think about it like this, Brett. You can finally go home, look yourself in the mirror, and get a little peace of mind because you will know you were indeed beaten by a real man.